Welcome to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio, 830 WCRN. To join the conversation, call 508-871-7000. Now, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
Good Sunday morning. You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN 830. That distinguished-looking man right over there, that's Terry Hendricks. I'm John Featherston. The largest employer in the world is cutting jobs and closing stores. The stock market's never performed worse to start off a year. But on Tuesday night, Barack Obama said everything is fine. So, hey, let's talk about it here on All Politics is Local. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, New England. Well, Mr. Obama might be just a little bit foolish in his
speaking. He seems to be more, let's just say, optimistic and believes in the op-ed, I guess, because, you know, as 6 million people who are living in poverty in this country, over 6 million, if everything's working well for them. I don't think so.
Why 7 years into his administration now is he
going to cure cancer? He didn't want to do it his first 7 days in office. I don't understand that either.
Well, I guess I'd maybe Joe Biden's wife would be better to cure cancer since she is a doctor. She might be a little better at it. But anyway, you know, back to the economy. The median household income is about the same as it was in 07. And so things have not gotten any better. The Great Recession ended 6 years ago, actually. And, of course, our labor participation rate is about the same as it was in the 1980s. So... and our recovery, since we had usually and historically, when you have a deep recession, it comes right back. The economy comes roaring back with pretty dynamic growth. And our growth is anemic, I guess, is the best way of putting it, around, you know, 2% or even less. So it's the weakest recovery in modern times. So everything is good, really. And guess what? We're going into probably another recession.
Absolutely.
Have a nice day.
We'll pick up at that a little bit later. But, hey, maybe we got somebody on the phone that can help start making things better. He had a big party last night, started his selectman kickoff race. State Rep Jeff Deal came out and was the keynote speaker. Let's go to the phones and say good morning to Alex Milne. Good morning, Alex. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Hey, why don't you tell the New England audience a little bit about yourself, who you are, and what you're trying to accomplish?
Well, my name is Alex Mill, and I'm running for selectman in the town of Norwell. I'm 20 years old. I'm a lifelong Norwellian, born and raised in the town, went to the schools. I've worked in state government. I worked in Governor Baker's office. I'm currently working for my state representative, David DeCoste. There is an open seat on the Board of Selectmen. I feel my energy, passion, and government experience can bring a fresh perspective to town government, which is why I decided to run, and I officially announced last night to a big crowd of 40 people. If there wasn't the Pats game last night, we probably would have gotten a better turnout, but it was a good turnout nonetheless.
You know, Alex, timing is everything.
Yes.
But Terry and I know Alex. We saw Alex up at the State House just a couple weeks ago. Alex said he's 20 years old. Tell the New England audience why, I'm the biggest political junkie you ever want to meet, but I didn't have the courage at 20 years old to run for office. So kudos to you. So why don't you tell everybody out there why you think you can make a difference?
Well, if you look at the presidential candidates, the majority of them are very high in age, which is fine. But, you know, like Marco Rubio is saying, we're going to a new American century, and it's time for our voices to be heard. I started to get into politics being in the car with my mom, listening to 96.90 WTKK. She would pick me up from school, and I would listen to conservative talk radio, which is how I really got into politics and how I became came right of center into politics, which is why I decided, you know, to get involved, start volunteering on different campaigns. I started volunteering on Scott Brown, then Gabriel Gomez, and I was able to work on Governor Baker's campaign. So you can't complain unless you get involved, and I think I've gotten involved quite enough.
Well, you're only 20 years old. You got a long way to go, so
yes.
You got a lot more work to do.
Now, have you run this by, Governor Baker, Lieutenant Governor Polito, or even your state rep?
My state representative knows. He is supporting me. Governor Baker and Lieutenant Governor Polito have a state to run with almost 7 million residents in 351 towns. So I'll let them focus on that. But my state representative knows. I worked on Jeff Deal's state Senate campaign. He was nice enough to miss the Patriots game last night and come out to support me in Norwell. So I've built up a good niche of support for my race, and I look forward to hitting the doors and making phone calls in the upcoming months.
What are the big issues in Norwell right now?
So the big issues in Norwell right now is, the bottom line, it is property taxes. We have a good population of seniors in our town who unfortunately can no longer afford to live in the town due to the rising property taxes. The majority of our tax base is from residential taxes. So we really need to look into expanding our commercial tax base. And if we really want to look into that, we need to, right now we have a town center which really doesn't have much of a commercial tax base. Or really anything. I want to be able to go to the Selectmen's Board and be like, what can we do to make it easier for businesses to open up in Norwell and specifically in Town Center? We have a beautiful Town Center, which is right on 123. People pass it to go to Scituate and Marshfield to go to the beach. What can we do that we can have people stop in Town Center before they go to the beach?
Well, it's a pretty nice neighborhood down there on the South Shore. You know, you're next to Hingham and Cohasset's around the corner. Actually, I drive through Norwell going to my daughter's house in Hull, so it's a nice town down there.
It's a very nice town. We're a very small, rural community. I've lived here all my life, went to the schools here, and I want to be able to afford to live in the town and buy my own house when I graduate from college, but if the way things keep going now, property taxes will continue to rise, and I might not be able to afford to live in the town. So I want to be able to get onto the board and help people to want to continue living in Norwell to be able to.
All right, we just got a couple minutes here before the break. How do people learn more about your campaign, and what do you need help on the campaign with?
They can go to my website, alexmillnorwell.com. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And they can just go on the website and sign up to volunteer to knock doors, make phone calls, and do whatever anyone is able to do. It's a grassroots effort. Hopefully the weather will start getting warmer so I can door knock. I'm praying that we don't get any snow like last year, so I could start even earlier. But I'm running. I want to be able to help my town, and I look forward to getting to meet the voters.
And when is the election?
May 14th.
May 14th. So between now and May 14th, I want you, and I strongly encourage you, to get involved in Alex's campaign. Alex is a great candidate. Alex, give the website one more last time before the commercial.
AlexMillnNorwell.com.
And that's spelled M-I-L-N-E, isn't it?
That's right.
All right, Alex, hey, thanks for joining us here on All Politics is Local. We'll be back. You're listening to All Politics is Local on WCRN 830.
Listening to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio 830 WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
Good Sunday morning, New England. You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN 830. If anybody's listened to the program over the last couple months, they all know that we're big Carly fans here. Terry Hendricks, our co-host, good morning, Terry, is a retired HP employee, as a matter of fact. And I had the pleasure of running into Carly up at the New Hampshire State House the other day. And we are looking forward to having her on. We're also looking forward to having on the phone right now Abed LaMontagne, who is Carly's New Hampshire campaign manager. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, good morning, John. Good morning, Terry. It's a great day in New England, particularly after last night's wonderful win by the Pats. And Carly had a great day on the campaign trail yesterday, so no better way to cap that day off than to watch the Pats win.
So why don't we give you your due? Because I mean, you've got quite the interesting political background. Why don't you just remind New England a little bit about yourself, and then we'll talk about Carly.
Okay, great, John. Well, first of all, I'm a New Hampshire native, fourth generation. I ran for governor in 2012. I was the Republican nominee for governor. But a lot of people may remember that in 2010, I was the outsider running for U.S. Senate and lost by 1% of the vote in the end, Kelly Ayotte, who's my U.S. senator, and I'm pleased to support her going into her re-election campaign this year. But so I've been involved politically for over 25 years here in New Hampshire, and John, one thing that I observe to people when I introduce Carly at events is this: 2012 was not a good year for Republicans. It was not a good year for conservatives, both in New Hampshire and nationally. 2016 has to be a great year for us. And the best way for the Republican Party and conservative values in particular to be advanced and to prevail in 2016 is to nominate somebody like Carly Fiorina, who's got the experience, she's got the passion, the principles, and she's got the positive message that I think will bring people together rather than divide them. And so to your listeners out there who know people in New Hampshire or if they're in New Hampshire, please vote for Carly. Encourage others to do so on February 9th, our First in the Nation New Hampshire primary.
Well, like I said, Terry actually worked for Carly. So, I mean, I think, it'd be an interesting conversation between both you and Terry. Terry, why don't you tell us a little bit about Carly and, when you worked at, for HP?
Well, actually, Carly engineered the merger with Compaq Computer, which is, I actually started with Digital and was acquired by Compaq and then merged with Hewlett Packard. And the interesting thing is that Carly was hired to change the culture, basically bring it into the 20th century for Hewlett Packard. Hewlett Packard was an O-line company, had a lot of deep culture, but that needed to change some. And Carly was that person that made that happen. And part of that was the merger with Compaq. And by the way, it was a huge merger at the time, one of the largest in the computer industry. And I was actually, during my day job, I did my day job, but my night job, so to speak, I was part of the integration team and the team before the merger happened to, grease the skids and get all the things connected. And things went really smoothly. It's, day one, everybody was on Hewlett Packard's email system. So it was it wasn't entirely seamless, but to, I tell you, I don't know, 100 and some thousand employees, it was pretty seamless. So things ran very smoothly. For me, from Digital and Hewlett Packard had a very similar culture. Actually, the company colors were the same, still, blue and white. So I really enjoyed working for the company. I think it's still a great company, even though it's split into two pieces. So I'm looking forward to Carly. I actually met her in Marlboro and met her once in Palo Alto. She probably doesn't remember because she, the Marlboro meeting was, me and a thousand others. But I'd just love to have her debate Hillary Clinton. That would be worth money.
Well, Terry, that's a great insight. And did you actually, what was your impression of her as a leader of the organization? Because I think some of the Democrats, particularly the Democrat attack dogs, have said, oh, she was a failed leader, she was awful. But everything I'm hearing anecdotally and also what I've been able to read is that, she took a very challenging situation and made it work, and as you said, affected a cultural change in at Hewlett-Packard and beyond, and she really was a catalyst for change. And unlike managers who basically reorganized the chairs on the deck of the Titanic, she changed things. She actually broke paradigm, and she established new systems that actually helped to increase efficiency, productivity, and ultimately a successful company coming out of the toughest recession that the technology industry has really ever seen.
Well, having lived that, I would agree with you. It was interesting times, but my experience with her personally and from people who had actually spent more time with her. First of all, she's as smart a person as you'd ever meet, but she's also very approachable, very personable person. So she's probably on TV and all, she might seem a little bit tough, but she is. But yet, she's a person you can have a good conversation with, very approachable. So there's nothing, from my view, nothing not to like there.
No, I mean, she's charming, she's smart, she's polite, she's courageous. So your job is to have Carly win the New Hampshire primary. So let's talk a little bit about that. Hey, no pressure there, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Let's talk about how she's doing, a couple of events that we can promote going forward, and whatever we can do to get Carly more support.
Okay, great. Well, first of all, just to clarify, I'm the state chairman for Carly's campaign. She's had a pretty good team in place since I stepped into those shoes back at a couple weeks ago, at the beginning of January. I, you know, my delay in entering or involving myself in Carly's campaign was that I was general counsel for Americans United for Life until the end of December. I've been there for almost 3 years, and then I decided it was time to come back home to New Hampshire and be close with my family. And it was quite an interesting run. And that's where I met Carly, by the way. I met Carly on the national stage, if you will, for the pro-life movement. I mean, for people who care about the life issue, and most Americans do, whether they know it or not, they really do. And Carly has been a pro-life leader, involved with the pro-life movement for quite a while before she ran for president. So, you know, a lot of candidates come to the issue begrudgingly because they have to take a position, whatever, but they don't believe in it. Carly is a believer on life. And that really piqued my interest. Here's a woman, a successful businesswoman, is willing to be a pro-life candidate and to be involved in the pro-life movement when, you know, the culture is not as pro-life, it's anti-life, and yet she was willing to make a change there. And so I get involved now since I've come back to New Hampshire and practicing in Bernstein Shore, a regional law firm with an office in Manchester. My job as chairman is really to oversee the campaign apparatus, to make the relationships or connections for Carly, to be a spokesman for her, and so forth. And I think the path to victory for her is not unlike what I experienced myself, John, in 2010. In 2010, there was a crowded field for U.S. Senate. There was a fellow named Bill Binney who spent $10 million in that primary. Kelly Ayotte was spent several million dollars. Another candidate, Jim Bender, self-financed to the tune of a couple million. I barely had scraped together $500,000. 3 weeks out from the primary, I was at 9 points, John and Terry. 9 points. Kelly was at 44. Bill Binney was at 40, I think. Jim Bender was outpolling me by 2-1, and he's up around 18 points, something like that. In the last 3 weeks, what happened is that the candidates started to attack each other, and I think I became the default candidate the voters went to. They started looking around and saying, well, really, who's the person who's not engaged in this backroom brawl or a schoolyard fight, but rather is talking about the issues that matter to us? And I ran one little ad the last 3 weeks. Not much airtime, but I got out there and virally and so forth. And I ended up getting 35% of the vote. Kelly got 36%. Bill Binney was down at 10%. It was a huge change in the electorate and in the polling. So I would say to people in New Hampshire, don't look at the polls. Consider the candidates. This is our vetting process. This is the time of the primary cycle where a lot of New Hampshire voters have seen candidates one, two, three times. And they've seen them all, or a lot of them, and experienced them. And now it's time to discern who the best person is to win. And for my money, you know, Carly's message is really transcending both party and politics. She's drawing crowds that are pretty substantial here in New Hampshire. Somebody said to me yesterday, this is classic, they said, you know, she's somebody you really need to see. Because when you see her, you really appreciate how smart she is, how disciplined she is, how positive she is. And sometimes the television camera doesn't project that. Although I think she did a great job in that Thursday night debate. She didn't get as much airtime as the others, actually. But when she did have airtime, she was focused, principled, and I think conservative in a way that is appealing to people. That's what Ronald Reagan was. Ronald Reagan was appealing to voters and ultimately put together that coalition that could win. And she can do the same thing. And the other thing I would say about the winning strategy is, who do we have to win against? Hillary Clinton.
Right.
Now, what better person to put up against Hillary Clinton than an accomplished, substantive woman candidate who's going to take the gender issue off the table completely, which means that what they're going to be debating is our policy positions and leadership experience. And on that, Carly will win every day, every minute of any debate that she'll have with Hillary Clinton. And so I asked voters to project what it would be like, as Terry says, to see Hillary Clinton debating Carly Fiorina, and secondly, to consider what it would be like to have Carly Fiorina as the world leader that the president of the United States should be, unlike this current president, who's a world failure. He has failed the world because he's not willing to lead. He's not willing to take this country to places where we need to be in a way that we need to act in order to make a difference to protect the world and, as a result, protecting ourselves. Carly Fiorina is that candidate, and ask voters to visualize that.
We're going to take a break for CBS News. We're joined by Abed Lambontaine, the New Hampshire state chairman for Carly for president. We'll be back and continue the conversation. You're listening to All Politics is Local on WCRN 830.
Let's return to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio, WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
Good Sunday morning, New England. You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN 830. He's Terry Hendricks. I'm John Featherston. And we're still joined on the phone by the New Hampshire State Chairman of the Carly for President campaign, Abed Lambontaine. Good morning, sir. How are you? Thanks for hanging on us with Over the Break.
Happy to do so, John and Terry. It's a great day to be in New England.
Yes, it is. Well, I look at where Carly is in the polls, and I guess I'm concerned. I've been fervently hoping that she would be doing better. I was hoping she'd be on the main stage at the debate last Thursday night. And I guess I'm concerned. How do you think she's going to do? Because she might do better in New Hampshire than where we think she is right now. Iowa's going to be tough. It seems like that's between Cruz and Trump right now on our side. So wondering, how do you think things are going to look for March 1st for the Super Tuesday?
Well, I got a couple observations to make about this. First of all, polls don't matter except for the poll on election day, right, or primary day,
yeah.
February 9th.
That's
and
a big
so
poll.
True. And that's why I was using the example of my own experience here in New Hampshire, and that's happened to me before in a Republican primary, albeit in 2012, I won a statewide primary for governor by 70%, with 70%. But in any event, the point is that there's still a lot of people, John and Terry, who you should know, are not decided in New Hampshire. I'm not sure what the latest indicators are. But
about 40%, yeah. I think.
Okay, and I would say so that seems about right to me when I see people either at events or talk to people on the phone. That there is almost a plurality, if you will, if not a majority of people who haven't decided. And even though the 60% may say they've decided, there's still an opportunity to shift positions here. So I think Carly is actually in a good position. She's in the hunt. The question is, what will happen in Iowa first? Will she, place, if you will, in one of the top tier? I'd say, if you're in the top five there, you're in good place coming out of Iowa, heading into New Hampshire. But Carly's on the ballot in all 50 states. She has, campaign operations in 25 states. If she catches fire, if she gets some momentum out of New Hampshire, she can run the tables. And that's an important consideration. This is not one of these fly-by-night operations. I mean, Terry, you would know this from Carly and from your business experience with her. She is a very well-organized, a strategic thinker. And so she's well-positioned to run the tables, as I say, for the rest of the country. But we need to give her some energy out of New Hampshire. And I would say if she finishes third or fourth, she's going to get some real energy because people will say, wow, where did that come from? There's still, double-digit number of candidates here in New Hampshire, but Carly is exceptional in a number of ways, and I think she has a real opportunity to connect with voters. She'll be back here next weekend. She'll be back for the week between Iowa and New Hampshire, and yes, people can say, well, that'll be, she'll be overwhelmed by all the noise. No, she won't, because she can pierce through that noise. She has a message and a presentation and a leadership style that I think people will take pay attention to. And if she can leave New Hampshire with some momentum, I think she can do well in South Carolina as we head into the southern states, Nevada. She's there this weekend, or today, I should say. And I'm really actually quite encouraged by what I've learned about her campaign strategy since really taking on a leadership role here in New Hampshire.
Well, I have to tell you, I mean, I think Terry and I have a pretty good realistic political filter. I think we're realists when it comes to candidates and everything. You mentioned it earlier in the interview. When you meet Carly, it's a different candidate. I mean, she's gracious, she's charming, she's smart. You can tell that she's a leader. I will tell you, she's won every debate that she's been on the stage with. If it's the big card or the small card, she's a great debater. She's a great leader. So if you're on the fence out there in New Hampshire, I strongly suggest that you take another look at Carly. I got to tell you, the feedback that you get on social media when you ran into Carly up at the New Hampshire State House, women love her. Young women voters all seem to be going towards her. So, I mean, if you've got young girls in the family, push her towards that. We've only got a couple minutes left here. Any closing thoughts or anything you want to promote for Carly?
Yes, a couple of thoughts. First of all, for New Hampshire people particularly, but also people in Massachusetts and around our state who have relationships with people in New Hampshire, I would say to you this, talk. Carly's not going to be outspending anyone on television and radio, but she's going to be up on the air before too long. What we need to do as citizens is to talk to each other, talk to our family members, coworkers, talk to people in line at the grocery store, turn around and say, who are you voting for president? That's a conversation we have with strangers, complete strangers, as you get into the final phase of the New Hampshire primary. And if you're a Carly believer or supporter, make sure that you can deliver the message to your friends and family about Carly, who she is, what she stands for. Carly for President is her website. If you just Google Carly, you're going to come up with her website. And you can learn more about her positions and the issues she has. But it's about talking, reaching out to other people. It is word of mouth that's going to really make a difference in the way this presidential primary finishes. And I'm asking people in New Hampshire, throughout our state, talk to your friends, neighbors about Carly Fiorina. She is the real deal. She is the most conservative candidate who can win, and she will win if we give her some momentum coming out of New Hampshire. If I sound passionate, if I sound a little excited, it's because I am. I'm a believer in Carly, and you won't find a more conservative guy in New Hampshire than me in terms of having run and served in office. Carly is our candidate, and she can win in 2016, and we have to win in 2016. There is no margin for error anymore. We are on the precipice of a great decline here, and Hillary Clinton is going to be our worst nightmare, let alone Barack Obama's in the last year in office. So let's get behind Carly. Let's make a difference in New Hampshire, and then she will take us to the nomination.
Well, Abbott, thank you for taking the time on a Sunday morning to join us and educate us more on Carly. Let Carly know she's welcome here anytime, and best of luck.
Okay, great, John. Great, Terry. Great to talk to both of you. Hope we'll talk again.
Have a great weekend.
Good luck to Carly.
Bye-bye.
All right, there you go. I got some goosebumps after that. Came across good. Hey, on the line again, another friend on the phone. Friend calling in from Framingham, Massachusetts, running for selectman in Framingham, Caesar Monson. Good morning, Caesar. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, John. How are you today?
Sorry to keep you waiting a couple extra minutes, but but thanks for hanging on the line. Why don't you tell...
Excited to be online with you.
Hey, it's great to have you on a Sunday morning. All politics is local, and nothing gets more back to the local level than running for selectman. Why don't you tell the listening audience a little bit about who you are, your background, and what you're trying to accomplish?
Sure, John. Well, I am a person that had lived in Framingham for the past 44 years, homeowner for the past 30 since. And I have been in a lot of different positions in the town of Framingham, such as town meeting member, was in the school committee for a couple of terms, was the chairman of the Economic Development Industry Corporation. And in my regular job, I worked for the U.S. Census Bureau as a statistician, and I was in charge of the partnership program for the 1990 census. In the 2000 census, I was the local census manager for the area, covering about 28 cities and towns in Massachusetts, all the Metro West area. And by the 2010 census, I was in charge of New England, New York, and the island of Puerto Rico, as the assistant regional census manager in charge of the whole operation. So I have put my pulse and see what's happening in our town and a lot of different places in Massachusetts, but concentrating in Framingham, which is why I'm running for office, I see that the political leadership is missing. For example, John, not too long ago, when I was in a school committee, we owned the Maynard building where the administrative offices for the school administration was.
Mm-hmm.
It needed some repairs, so we put a new roof. We fixed the windows. The building was looking better. But what happened? We sold the building after we spent all the money. Now it's going to be a museum. And it was decided to rent. Now we pay $375,000 a year rent for the administrative office in the Perina building, which at that time was said that was contaminated. It doesn't make any sense to me. So we spend the money like crazy in things without letting the population know why we're doing these things. In September, for example, there was a fire in the Framingham Library. It hasn't not been repaired. We're waiting to figure out what's going on. I suppose they're supposed to buy the main switch gear to put it back in order. And that money has been used for things that have nothing to do with the infrastructure that is needed in the town. And all these things are happening for lack of political leadership from the Board of Selectmen. And that's what's going on right now, John.
So, like we said, you are running for selectman in Framingham. When's the election?
The election is March 29th, approximately 10 weeks from now.
Okay. So we've got some got to get some boots on the ground. What about a website?
You can go to Committed to Elect Cesar Monzon. People can see what I stand for. They see my background, my biography of my education. I'm a graduate of Merrimack College. I have my master's degree from Lesley University in management. So it's a lot of things that people can learn and support my candidacy for selectman for the town of Framingham.
Great. You're listening to All Politics is Local on WCRN 830. We're going to take a quick break in just a minute. We're talking to Cesar Monzon, who's running for selectman in the town of Framingham. When we come back, we're going to spend a couple minutes on talking about the Framingham First effort and a little bit more about his campaign. You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN. We'll be back.
You're listening to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio, 830 WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
On the third Sunday morning of 2016, we're live and we're local, and we're talking local politics here on WCRN, All Politics is Local. To learn more about the program, go to allpoliticsislocalma.com. As I try to speak English here, allpoliticsislocalma.com. On the phone, we have a Framingham candidate for selectman, Cesar Monzon. Good morning, Cesar. Thanks for holding on over the break.
Good morning, John.
And we're also, we've got some extra time. We're joined in studio by Jim Wallace of the Gun Action League, and we're going to be talking extensively in the 11 o'clock hour about guns. So get on the phones, 508-871-7000. That's 508-871-7000. Cesar, let's focus back in on your race for selectman in Framingham and the Framingham First effort. Why don't you tell New England about what's going on with Framingham First?
Yes, John. Right now, because the way the government of Framingham is being run, with 218 town meeting members, over 32 different committees, it's very difficult to do business with the town. You need a roadmap to figure out how to open a business, for example. So a group got together and said, this kind of government is not working any longer. It's antiquated. We have to do something about it. So Framingham First got the signatures needed to change the charter. Over 5,000 people signed to say it is important to have a different type of government. Should we become a city? Should we reduce the number of town meeting members? Can we operate more efficient? with more transparency, with more accountability, like I was talking about earlier. Money had been spent for crazy reasons without letting the population, the community, know why we're doing these expenditures. So right now, Framingham First will be voting in the people of Framingham will be voting on March 29 as well to say, yes, we should have a charter. We should elect 9 members to study what type of government would be more appropriate for this town. Should we maintain the town meeting form of government, or should we change it to something else? And this 9 persons will have over a year to figure out and present to the town and to the community to vote what will make more sense. And that's what's going on right now, John.
Well, some good news came out for Framingham First in the last week. There's this gentleman called Governor Charlie Braker who called the Framingham First effort a no-brainer.
Exactly.
And you and I were in the room the other night together, and Lieutenant Governor Karen Polito also endorsed the Framingham First effort. So, I mean, you've got some good political support on that. We've had Janet Lambruno on. We've had Jason Smith on talking about it. I mean, it's common sense. Framingham is the largest town by population in the United States. You guys are probably leaving money on the table up at Beacon Hill and with other projects. It's nice to see that you guys are taking the next step to having the discussion about changing the government.
Exactly. We need a seat. We need a voice on the State House to advocate for the town of Framingham. But we are a city. We are more able to go and talk about the issues that are important to the town so we can govern ourselves and to make the best decisions that will be for the town to function in a manner that would make sense.
So let's talk about your campaign a little bit. The election's coming up at the end of March. What do you need? What are you doing? And, you know, how can we help?
Well, right now I'm talking to people on the streets. I'm talking to people in grocery stores and a lot of different places. I'm making myself very visible to understand that the town still has to run until all the decisions regarding the charter takes place. We need a selectman that has a vision, that has leadership, and understand that money cannot be spent without accounting for the reason behind it. And that's one of the issues that I'm very focused on, my leadership, my knowledge, my government experience, over 30 years in government experiences, that it will be very helpful for the town of Framingham.
Good, good. By the way, Caesar, I believe you know that John Featherston here is running for state rep coming year. What do you think about that? Do you think that'd be good for Framingham?
Of course. We need people that understand what is necessary for Ashland, for Framingham, because we are all combined. It's a lot of things we have in common. And we need voices that can go to the State House that the governor and the lieutenant governor and others will listen to. And somebody like John is someone that has his finger, his thoughts, his ideas, and is very well respected and recognized in our town.
Well, that was very nice of you, Caesar. Once again, why don't you plug your website, Caesar Monson, running for Framingham Selectman. Plug that website.
And that's M-O-N-C-O-N, right?
Yeah, committed to elect Cesar Monson, C-E-S-A-R, Monson, M-O-N-Z-O-N.
And how about a phone number in case, you know, you've piqued anybody's interest out there this morning?
508-561-5893.
All right. Hey, he's Caesar Monson. He is running for Framingham Selectman. Great guy. We'll personally endorse him here on All Politics is Local in Massachusetts. Caesar, thanks for giving up some time on a Sunday morning to join us, and best of luck, and come on right before the election again, too.
Thank you very much, John.
Bye. Right. Thank you. Have a great day.
Good to hear from you again, Caesar.
Thank
Good
you.
Luck.
Bye-bye.
Hey, you're tuned to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts. We do try to focus in on the local level because, you know, Caesar's race, Alex Mills' race coming up, those are the most important elections you're ever going to vote in. Anything that happens on the local election are the most important elections. And it's mind-boggling to people like Terry and myself that, you know, participation in these local elections isn't huge. If you don't think those are the most important elections, I would challenge you on that. So get out, get to know the candidates, get to know the issues, and please support those local elections. Of course, you know, voting for president is important, and hopefully, you know, you get a good turnout for that. But your local election affects your kids, your taxes, your property values, your core values in your community. So get out and vote in those local elections, and we are going to promote local candidates here on this program because all politics is local. Hey, real quick, we just got a couple minutes before the top of the hour break. We're going to be talking guns in the 11 o'clock hour. So get on the phones now. It's 508-871-7000. If he pulls his microphone a little bit towards him. Good morning, Jim. Jim Wallace.
Hey, good morning.
Why don't you tell a little bit about everybody about yourself, and we can promo the 11 o'clock hour a little bit.
Sure. Yeah, my name again is Jim Wallace. I'm the executive director of Gun Owners Action League. GOAL's been in existence actually since 1976. So, you know, we've been around for a little while. We're actually probably the only full-time advocacy organization for the Second Amendment in the Northeast. That includes, you know, New York and in New Jersey. So it's quite a challenge up here. You know, unfortunately, we're always busy, and it's you talk about local politics. One of the things that we're fighting this year pretty hard is local initiatives to ban either possession or ownership or transfer of certain kinds of guns or discharge of guns for hunting or for anything else. And it's actually kind of interesting because we've managed to actually get our message out there nationally and statewide, and people just aren't buying the old arguments. So there is actually a very concerted, organized effort now to put things on, for instance, changing ordinances, a town meeting agenda or whatever it might be, to ban certain things. And they're hoping they can sneak it in. And so far, every time we have been alerted to one, we've been able to defeat it through the help of the local people. So it's absolutely imperative that people not only watch who's running for office, but what else might be on the local agenda for votes coming up.
Well, as a gun owner myself, I'm always looking at the changes in the laws. In fact, my permit to carry expires, this coming October. And I worry a little bit about, you know, am I going to get a big hassle to get that renewed? And I've lived in Massachusetts over 40 years. And so I've had it renewed 8 times. And, you know, it's never been an issue. I start thinking like a lot of people. And I think, you know, the last State of the Union, when Obama talks about guns, bang, you know, the people who benefit from that, Sturm Ruger, Smith & Wesson, Beretta, you know, because people are afraid that they're going to lose their right, their Second Amendment right to own and carry a firearm. And it's concerning. And, of course, the beneficiary has been the firearms industry because they seem to be, every time something comes up, stock goes up.
We're going to take a break for the top of the hour. We're going to be talking guns, the Second Amendment, and the Gun Owner Action League. Jim Wallace is here, so get on the phones, 508-871-7000. You're tuned to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on WCRN 830.